They say there is no I in team. They say that coming together is a beginning. Keeping together is progress. And working together is a success. Together, we can serve our neighbor. Together, we can unify our community. Together, we can be light in the dark. Together, we can. We need each other. We rely on each other. We hold on to each other. Let's do this. Together. Our church.
something else, whether it's festivals or rituals or works or it's anything else, that Jesus is not enough. Paul wanted to dispute that saying that was going on because it was a lie. If he did not, if it took more than Jesus, then Jesus wasn't enough. Jesus wasn't God's son, and his death was for naught. But Paul understood it's different. That Jesus is all that it was, all that we need, and we understand that too. Paul pointed out in this letter that Christ is creator of all things, both visible and invisible. He is the one who holds all creation together. He is the fullness of God and lives in him, and through his death, God reconciled everything back to him, or allowed for reconciliation to take place. The theme of Colossians, quite simply, would be Christ is all. And in these four chapters, we can divide Paul's teaching as such. First, he talks about Christ and his supremacy, that Christ is supreme, freedom in Christ, lifestyle of faith, and then closing greetings there. And if I had to choose the most important verse out of this book, it would be chapter 3 and verse 1. It says, so if you have been raised with the Messiah, seek what is above, where the Messiah is seated at the right hand of God. So, with all that being said, by way of introduction, I have some questions for you to think about before we read that text for this morning. How many of you like being told what to do? Raise your hand. That's what I thought. Now, I understand it's part of our lives, but how many of us can go through a whole day without being told something we need to do, whether verbally or written? That's what I thought. Oh, Zach, okay. Let's see, your mama's telling you what to do right now. Put your hand down. Now, I think if there was consequences to the decisions and the things that we've done, we wouldn't mind being told what to do, if only to say, if something went wrong, well, she told me to do this, or he told me to do that. You understand what I'm saying? But normally, I think of all the people around, we tolerate some directions. We tolerate some advice. We tolerate some recommendations, some commands, and some counsels more than others do. In fact, if I was to do this, here is a debit card. It's got $5,000 on it. Ricky's already got his hand up. Some of them on this side. Yeah, I will. But if I were to tell you, hey, there's $5,000 on this, however, you've got to spend it in 2 days. I'm sure most of us wouldn't have that problem. We would be able to get that done. However, now let me look at this. I'm putting it away, honey. God tells us this. He says, don't stay away from our meetings as some individuals do. And yet, as we look around, we can see some vacant seats here this morning. I mean, God has commanded us to not forsake the assembling of ourselves together. And yet, we so easily think, well, it's too cold out there. Or I got something else I need to go do today. You see what I'm saying? Some things are easier to do than others are. If some things are in our favor, like the $5,000 debit card that you can go spend in 2 days, and we'll take that. But if it's, hey, you need to be in church, well, that's another story. You just don't understand how my life is. You don't understand how busy I am. And I want to share with you this morning, just in case there's any kind of doubt, nobody understands this more than God does. He understands us even better than we understand ourselves. Throughout my life, I have been told what not to do. And as I was sitting this weekend, I was writing these things down. There's a lot of things I was told not to do. And maybe you can relate to this. Let me just share some of these things with you. Don't play in the streets. Don't wear those dirty shoes in this house. Don't change that channel. Don't pick on your brother. Don't you talk back to me. Don't put your hands in your pockets. Don't drive and drink. Don't smoke. Don't leave the table until you've eaten everything on your plate. Don't forget to call when you get there. Don't put that in your mouth. Don't forget who you are. Don't talk to strangers. Don't go over the speed limit. Don't cheat. Don't eat all that ice cream. You can't wear those clothes to church. No parking. No passing. No loitering. Don't bring that thing into this house. Don't waste your for God's chosen ones, holy in love, passion, kindness, humility, gentleness, and patience, accepting one another and forgiving one another if anyone has a complaint against another. Just as the Lord has forgiven you, so also you must forgive. Above all, put on love, the perfect bond of unity, and let the peace of the Messiah, to which you were also called in one body, control your hearts. Be thankful. Let the message about the Messiah dwell richly among you, teaching and admonishing one another in all wisdom, and singing psalms, hymns, and spiritual songs with gratitude in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or in deed, do everything in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through me. Let's pray. Father God, we love you and we thank you so much for loving us. We thank you, Lord, for the privilege of being here this morning. And Lord, we look to hear from you. We want to hear from you. We need to hear from you. So help us in this endeavor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated. The first thing I see in this passage is that we are hand-picked. Do you see that in verse 12? It says, God's chosen ones. God himself has selected you to be a part of his kingdom, to be a part of his family, to be able to call him Daddy. God wants us. It's not like we were the last ones there. Do you remember how that was on the school ground, the playground, when the captains were there in choosing the teams, and the only ones that were left were you and that little diamond-shaped mat that they used for home plate, and you really hope they picked you instead of the mat? That's not how it is with God. God sees in you someone worth having, someone worth saving, someone valuable. Please understand this. You might have been a surprise to mom and dad, but you are not a mistake. God has planned for you to be here. You are precious in the Creator's sight. You are not a wasted life. I spent over 20 years serving in the United States Air Force, and I loved what I did most of the time. And God affirmed what I was doing plenty of times in my career in the Air Force. And just as he continues to affirm that here, as we've been here almost 3 years now, back to Trinity Missionary Baptist Church, the difference between the two is this. In the Air Force, my clothing choices were minimal, blue or green. I never remember waking up one morning thinking, what am I going to wear to work today? It was always there. Now, granted, there are probably times where it looks like I haven't thought much about what I was wearing. But that's only because Stacy wasn't around to let me know better. Anyway, life in the military as a Christian means that there are things that God expects of us. In the military, there are things that our commanders expected of us, our supervisors expected of us. You know, and there are things as being a Christian that God expects of us. And that's the dues of Christianity. And that's my second point, the dues of Christianity. In verse 12, he says, put upon heartfelt compassion. Now, what does that mean? Compassion is the ability to care for someone else. The only truly way to care for someone is to demonstrate love to that person. If there's no love, then who cares what happens to that person? If we want to live a Christian life, we need a life of compassion for others. And Jesus demonstrated this over and over and over again in his earthly ministry here. Matthew records this and says, when he, referring to Jesus, saw the crowds, he felt compassion for them because they were weary and worn out like sheep without a shepherd. And then Jesus said to his disciples, the harvest is abundant, but the workers are few. Therefore, pray to the Lord of the harvest to send out workers into his fields. Mark, quoting Jesus, said this, I have compassion on the crowd because they've already stayed with me 3 days and have nothing to eat. Jesus demonstrating compassion. James's brother said this, see, we count as blessed those who have endured. You have heard of Job's endurance and have seen the parent